Blog Talk Radio.
It's all about love in your life. So follow your light and you will feel the joy. It's all about love in your life. So follow your light, and you will feel your joy. Tune in to Love Light Joy at Blog Talk Radio with Dr. R.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for taking your time to listen in. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 1-646-787-1834. And it is a pleasure to join you this evening on the eve of the winter solstice, December 21st, 2015. Can you even believe that we are coming to the close of this year? It seems like this year just started, and time just is such a wonderful illusion that it seems to speed up and slow down in hindsight and retrospect. And so this evening is a very important evening. During this holiday, this broadcast is going to, that we're talking about this evening, it's just going to really talk about during the holiday seasons and how, you know, a lot of people, there are many emotions and people are feeling certain kinds of ways, some very joyous, some very sad, some in the middle. And it's really a time to just join in and provide comfort and nurturing and togetherness, connection with each other. So this broadcast this evening is really going to focus on those principles and ideals as we bring this year to a close and as we focus on the winter solstice, which is, many of you may know and many of you may not, but the winter solstice is the shortest day and the longest night of the year. So it's when the sun is at the lowest arc in the sky. And the ancient definition of, or one ancient definition of solstice, is the standing still of the sun. And it's just a time where you can go within. It's the longest night, which means the longest amount of darkness, going into the unknown, really a time to bask in the darkness, in the creation, in a time where you can design what you choose as we bring this year to a close and as we go into the new year of 2016. What are those things that you are releasing? What are those things that you are intending for? What are those things that, or those issues that you are healing, transmuting, transforming? All of those things are part of what is done kind of in the darkness, within the stillness, coming forth as they formulate into the light. And so as we began the broadcast, I started with a angel card reading, and I pulled two cards from the Archangel Oracle card deck by Doreen Virtue. And this was kind of to set the tone and the message of what the archangels and the angels and the ascended masters wanted to bring forth, the messages that I wanted to convey within this broadcast. I asked the angels to please come forth and guide me and lead me as I share the information with the listeners and the ones who have archived. If you're listening back into the playbacks, know that the energy of light is very strong. It is very powerful. So no matter when you listen to this broadcast, know that the mergings of the energies are there, and it is a powerful, powerful time that we are experiencing on the planet right now. And so the first card that I pulled was the prosperity card. And, of course, that just makes me excited. It's a very beautiful card with the Archangel Ariel holding a cornucopia that's made of gold with gold coming out of it, kind of filled with gold. And she's wearing a beautiful emerald green dress with an emerald green medallion. And so prosperity from Archangel Ariel says, your material needs are provided as you follow your intuition and manifest your dreams into reality. So that's a wonderful, wonderful way to start the broadcast, to set the energy and tone for our solstice and what we are intending. And prosperity can take many forms. It's not just financial. It is an abundance of all of those things, ideas, situations, relationships that bring the most positive, the most highest light, joy to you. And so Ariel's message is, I'm pouring a cornucopia of prosperity upon you and your life and ask that you open your arms to receive. Some of the treasures will come in the form of brilliant ideas and some will come as opportunities. We'll work together to realize your highest dreams. And I ask that you give any worries to me. God and I love you very much and we are happy to help you in this way. We know that you'll pass along the goodness. So pretty much Ariel is saying that she's willing to help. All you have to do, like as I always say with the angels, they just ask that we ask for assistance in whatever area we need assistance in, and that there is divine magic in the air. Like I said, the energies are very powerful. We just went through a very powerful shift, an awakening, a mass awakening, a mass awakening of consciousness. And so as we go through those things, the energies have been going back and forth between light and dark, contrast, heaviness and lightness, but we have crossed that into now more powerful light energies, more powerful transformations, more powerful transmutations, all just simply by the power of our intentions, our words, our thoughts, our ideas, the things that we put our energies on, what we focus on. And so the quickest way that kind of from personal experience that I found to manifest is through joy, to really find those things that bring the most pleasure, the most excitement, creating almost like through the eyes of a child, just in pure excitement, exhilaration, and in the element of peace. You know, because what we have fun with, we tend to enjoy, we tend to do more, we tend to attract that into our life. And so those are our energies. And so just even simply focusing for 17 seconds on a joyful, fun, laugh, lighthearted thought, idea, situation will bring more of those thoughts. And before you know it, those 17 seconds will turn into minutes, which will turn into hours, which will turn into days. You get the point. And so the prosperity card is really good. Ariel also wants us to know that it is normal and in the light for miracles to occur. Her aura is pink. And so if you've been seeing, I don't know, some of you may be listening in on the callback and you are connecting into your divine psychic gifts. And so you may be very attuned to it and you see angels and ascended masters and fairies, or you communicate with them. Well, they bring colors with their energy. And so Ariel's color is a pale pink, a peaceful, a lighthearted, soft. So it's for the heart chakra. And so anytime the heart is involved, that just accelerates it. You know, there's this saying that there's a war between the heart and the mind, and really there isn't a war. It just needs to be in alignment. And so the heart knows, and the mind, once the heart is allowed to lead, the mind will continue to flow in alignment with the heart. And so the second card that I pulled was Divine Order. And Divine Order simply means that everything is how it needs to be right now. And to look past the illusion and to see the underlining order, the underlining divinity of the choices, of the unfoldings, of the circumstances within our life, within our society, within our world, even within, most importantly, within ourselves. Really, it's the inner that is now guiding the outer manifestations. And each one that tunes into themselves becomes more and more powerful. There's a saying by Abraham Hicks that one that is connected or aligned or in tune is more powerful than a million who are not. And so divine order is a win-win situation. It means that solutions are brewing that are a win-win for everyone involved. It only requires that there is faith and that there is workings and knowingness that things are happening behind the scenes that we can't see, which is perfect because we are at the winter solstice today, which is the longest night of the year. And so it makes sense that things are happening in the area of the unknown that we can't see, but they are coming to the surface and it's happening very rapidly. And so in order to expedite and exponentially multiply or buoy the manifestations, just use positive affirmations and prayers that will help keep your spirits high. Excuse me, I had a tickle in my throat. That will help keep your spirits high. It will help continue to reaffirm manifestations. Confirmations will come, and that will let you continue to be optimistic and joyful and hopeful. And so this winter solstice brings us prosperity in divinely ordered ways, synchronistic ways. And so I am happy with this reading. I am overjoyed. I have been working on many intentions, many awakenings, many transformations, feeling the shifts, feeling the energetic changes, feeling the ascension process. And it really is exciting to see what is happening during this time, and how things are unfolding and how things are manifesting at such a rapid rate, and that we really are sovereign beings. And this is a wonderful time to be alive because we are recognizing and waking up to our inner divinity, our inner consciousness. And so as I thought about those things that I would want to talk about during this broadcast, of course the card reading was a part of it, but I'd like to share a story with you. And this story came to me from a simple post that I responded to, and the post happened to do with looking at the palm of the hand. It had to do with palmistry and noticing the letter M in the palm of the hand and what that meant. And so from that post, a lady by the name of Faith Lynn Spina shared with me a story and her take on what the symbolization of those who recognize the letter M in the palm of their hand and what it means to her. And so this is from her book called The Land of Lemuria, and this is chapter 4 that I'm going to share with you. And once again, the author is Faith Lynn Spina, and you can find her on Facebook. Pretty sure she's on Twitter, and I think she may be on Instagram, but she's very active on Facebook, and she shares a lot of wonderful posts. And this is specifically, her book is geared towards remembering Lemuria. And so the story starts like this. That afternoon, Miss Carly, their first grade teacher, asked the kids to gather around in a circle for story time. All the children loved her dearly, so they were very eager to hear what she had to tell them. Miss Carly told the class that it was a special day. She wouldn't be reading from a book, but rather she was going to tell them a story that had been told to her by her great-great-grandmother, Anne Marie. Now, Miss Carly had no earthly idea why she decided to tell this story this day. It just felt right. She was just following her heart. Seeing Maya and Caitlin on the playground together had ignited the memory of when she was their age and used to play with her sister. It reminded her of how she felt when her great-great-grandmother told them stories about their ancestors. Miss Carly hadn't thought about this story since she was a very little girl. Miss Carly's soul was from Lemuria, but she didn't quite remember yet. This story, Miss Carly began, is the story about a place called Lemuria, or Mew for short. As Miss Carly let her memory wander back to some of her favorite scenes from childhood, her words came to life for every student that gathered around her. Mew was the most beautiful place on earth. It was a tiny island surrounded by the most incredible turquoise water in the world. Ah, the weather was warm every day, and the sun shined even when it rained. Rainbows painted the sky during the day, and huge bright stars glowed brilliantly at night. The people of Lemuria were tall and had large eyes that slanted at the corners like a cat. Not only were their bodies absolutely beautiful, so were their hearts and souls. The animals of Mu played in the lush tropical valleys as the children frolicked in the green grass and the blue sea. Dolphins, fairies, merpeople, which are mermaids and mermen, and humans lived all together peacefully. No words were spoken. No words needed to be said. Anyone could just think a thought, and his or her friends and neighbors would just understand it right away. This, boys and girls, is called telepathy. There was never any need for lying, because everyone knew each other's truth. In Mu, people never liked to eat meat. The power of all had given them glorious fruit, which grew plentifully under the warm sunshine and gentle rains. Juicy grapes, berries, and melons were found on bushes all over the island. The water from the daily rains was pure and delicious. They never needed bottled drinking water because they kept their air clean and their water clean. They drank sweet milk from coconuts that grew in great abundance on towering palm trees, which lined the island shore and brought much needed shade to the land. The Lemurians took relaxing baths in hot springs and invigorating showers in the cold waterfalls, which flowed from the tops of the beautiful mountains. They cleansed themselves with natural herbs called soap roots that grew near the riverbank. Taking the soap roots and rubbing them on nearby rocks produced bubbly lather, perfect for washing their hair and their bodies. They had no need for clothes because the weather was always warm, and they celebrated the beauty of the human body. At night, the sun had set. They slept comfortably on beds made of soft moss and lavender herbs that grew near the caves. The moss provided warmth and comfort, and aroma of lavender helped them relax and let go of any thoughts or cares that might keep them from a good night's sleep. For entertainment, the children played games near the seaside and sometimes in the gently rolling waves. They rode on the backs of dolphins and sunbathed on the rocks with the merpeople. They built sculptures in the sand and would swing from the vines and the trees, pretending to fly like their friends, the fairies. Many Lemurians made drums from the hollow trees that died after being struck by lightning during storms. They never let anything born from nature go to waste. They stretched the old tree stumps with large, supple leaves from the banana trees and tied vines around them to keep the leaves taut. They also made flutes from the reeds that grew near the sea and strong fibers together between the long tree branches to make harps. They enjoyed using just about anything their seaside homeland supplied them with to fashion into instruments for their orchestra. They even gathered colorful seashells, tapping them together like castanets. And when they found dried up coconuts, they'd scoop out the insides and fill them with pebbles for maracas. When all their chores were completed for the day, the Lemurians would hold a nightly ceremony on the beach to celebrate their lives. Everyone played an instrument, sang, or danced. After these nightly festivals, they'd gather in a circle as the sun went to sleep. While the sky was still the color of plums, they would give thanks to the power of all for another glorious day. The Lemurians were very happy people, and Mother Earth smiled on them with great contentment. One day, as the children played in the sea, they spotted a half of a log that had been hollowed out floating close to shore. Being curious, they went to investigate. There, sitting in this log, were two husky men. These men looked very, very different from them. They were shorter and heavier than they were, and they used voices to speak words instead of using their minds and hearts to exchange thoughts. The children of Mu ran to get their parents as the strangers came upon shore. Marisol, one of the leaders of the Lemurian Council, knew how to speak with her voice, so she stepped forward to speak to the men in their language. The men explained to her that there were warriors from the island of Atlantis. Marisol's thoughts went out to her people, assuring them that the men meant no harm. The parents were cautious, but loving, and invited the men to join them for a feast. Oh, the men could not believe their eyes. They thought the women of Lemuria were very beautiful, and they thought that the land was so rich that they never wanted to leave. But these men had families back in their own homeland, and they asked the Lemurian council if they could go back to their homeland of Atlantis and return with others. The elders who made up the Lemurian council gathered together to consider their requests. They believed that the power of all had sent these people to them in order for the Lemurians to teach these individuals from Atlantis about love. All the council agreed that they should grant the request. But by the next full moon, the two men returned to Lemuria with their wives and children. Well, this was as expected, but during their short stay in their homeland, they had told many others about this peaceful and beautiful land, tempting many to follow them. Soon, many hollowed out logs carrying men, women, and children landed on the shores of Lemuria. The children of Atlantis played with the children of Lemuria, and the adults from Lemuria taught the Atlanteans about love. The people from Atlantis taught the Lemurians how to speak their language, and all was well for a time. Sometimes the people had to come from Atlantis would go back to their former homeland and tell stories about Lemuria to their friends. Their tales made even more people want to come. And so soon the tiny island was filled with many people. The Lemurians hoped that by teaching the people of Atlantis how to love one another, they would return back to their homeland and share what they had learned with their people. Unfortunately, this is not what happened. Instead, the people of Atlantis stayed. They were receiving such wonderful lessons and were so enjoying the generosity of the land and its people. However, little by little, many Lemurians began to forget some of their old ways. They became less tolerant. Arguments broke out, and days of happiness grew fewer and far between. The island was not big enough to carry all the people of both countries, and so it slowly began to sink into the deep turquoise sea. Fear was not something the Lemurians knew about until then, but at this time they began to fear for their lives. And as the island sank into the ocean, many Lemurians turned themselves into mere people just to survive. Some left their bodies to return to other galaxies and worlds beyond. The fairies disappeared deep into the center of the earth, and the dolphins and the merpeople swam into the depths of the ocean. The people from Atlantis were frantic. They returned home immediately. They fought for the remaining logs to use as boats to make their return trip. However, many of them sank because they were too heavy to carry so many people. The sea swallowed most of the people. Those who made it back to Atlantis were soon met by torrential rain. Floods of tears shed by Mother Earth rained upon them. Mother Earth, sad to have lost her beloved humans, cried day and night. The earth became covered with water. Before they said their goodbyes, the Lemurians and the Atlanteans vowed to come to Mother Earth in the future again. They made the agreement to return once more when they were older and wiser. And so in order to recognize each other, they asked the power of all to imprint their hands with special markings. And so it was done. The Lemurians were to wear the M on their palm as the symbol of Mu. The people of Atlantis were to wear an A on their palms for Atlantis. The children born during this time would be called Indigo children. These children will remember their power and teach mankind the truth of the universe. Mother Earth, the angels, and the power of all smiled. Even though they had witnessed such destruction, they knew that there would again come a time when people of all cultures would come together as one to live in love. The end. When Miss Carly finished the story, the children clapped their hands in delight. Each of them quickly began to examine their palms, for the letter M or A. Excitedly, some exclaimed, "I found an A! I found an M!" Others shouted. From the back of the small classroom, Jack started to cry. "I don't have a letter," he sobbed. Maya and Blue exchanged smiles because they could see that things were going according to plan. By awakening the memory of Miss Carly, she had gone on to tell the story of Lemuria. This would help the children wake up their own memories. Carly grinned and said, "I must have forgot to tell you. Anyone who does not have a letter has a small heart on his or her left palm. Legend has it that children with hearts on their palms are angels who have been born on earth to watch over all humans everywhere." Jack frantically examined his left palm. The tears soon turned into a great big smile. "I found it! I have a heart! I have a heart!" The other children began to gather around him so that they could see for themselves, secretly wishing that they were angels too. Little James stood by watching the other children with sadness. He hadn't found anything on his palms. Afraid to tell the other children, he shouted, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Only weirdos would believe that story." After making his comments, he began to punch Jake and make fun of him. "Sissy boy with the heart on his hand," he yelled. James kept taunting until the others joined in. Within a few minutes, everybody was bullying Jake, making fun of them when Miss Carly wasn't looking. Maya noticed, and she made her way to the boys. She realized that James must have been in a great deal of pain in order to strike out like that. So she spoke to him in love, but with authority and wisdom. She said, "James, I see that you are upset right now. Can you tell me why?" James replied with a smirk on his face, "Jake thinks he's so great because he's got a heart. Well, who wants a stupid heart on their hand anyway?" Maya smiled inwardly and laid her hands on James' arm and said, "James, I believe you are special without a heart. Look at what a leader you are. You got all those boys to join in a fight that they don't even believe in. What power you have." James looked surprised and began to relax. "Yeah, Jake, I have power. All you have is a stupid heart. Ha, ha, ha," he laughed. "James," Maya said, looking into his face with clear, open eyes, "some of us are girls. Some of us are boys. Some of us have black skin. Others have yellow, brown, white skin. Some of us have hearts on our hands. Some A's and some have M's. We all look different, don't we?" "Yeah, so what?" he replied. "Well, we look different, we sound different, and in a lot of ways we are different. But did you know that we have more in common than we have differences?" "Yeah, like what?" James replied. "We all want to be liked. We all want to be accepted by others. We all want to be special, and we all want to be loved. Everyone comes from the same source through the power of all, and we are all equal because we are all part of the whole. We are one. Just like the story says, we've come together to help save Mother Earth. We need you, James. Won't you help us?" James thought for a moment and said, "What can I do to help? I don't have a heart or an A or an M." "Oh," Maya exclaimed, "James, you can be our leader. You can use your power to show other children, even with our differences, we all want the same thing." At that moment, James stood a little taller, looked very proud. "Yeah," he said, "I'm a leader, even though I make mistakes sometimes. Sorry, Jake, you're not stupid after all." Miss Carly noticed the commotion in the back of the room, but chose to let Maya and the boys handle the disagreements themselves. She was happy they resolved the argument without her stepping in. Then Miss Carly went on to make an announcement. "Girls and boys, the last thing my great-great-grandmother told me before she left this earth was that the angels and the humans must all work together to save Mother Earth. No one is more important than the other. All of us are unique and important to this earth. No one is more special. We are all equal in the eyes of the universe. We must learn this lesson in order to survive and to thrive. We must know that we have more in common than we have differences. We are united, and the thread that binds us all together is love." As Miss Carly finished speaking, the school bell rang, and the children, filled with love in their hearts, raced off to their buses, eager to get home to share this message with their parents. As they rushed out, Miss Carly called after the class, "Remember, we are all united in love." The fairy blue bubbled over with excitement. Much had been accomplished already, but the real fun is just about to begin. Blue knew that she was finally going to get the opportunity to practice her fairy magic with the children. And so it is that this story concludes on this winter solstice at 7 o'clock, that we are all united by love, light, and joy. May you have a beautiful solstice evening. May you have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and may the peace and the light that is within you shine so brilliantly that you are like a brilliant prism of light. Namaste. And as always, we'll bring our broadcast to a close with our song from Rosemary Roberts. I thank you, Faith Lynn Spiner, for allowing me to share your show on this broadcast on this very, very special evening. Peace, love, light, and joy.
It's all about love in your life. So follow your light and you will feel the joy. It's all about love in your life. So follow your light and you will feel your joy. Tune in to Love Light Joy at Blog Talk Radio with Dr. R.